I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Friends with Friends. I'm Susie Rhubarb, and here's Cassandra Tuppence.
You didn't plan them this week, did you?
No. But Susie Rhubarb came to mind quite quickly.
Yeah, it did, didn't it? Susie Rhubarb sounds like a sort of 1940s entertainer.
Yeah.
So you're on the stage of the Windmill Club in London or something like that, you know?
Or a kid's character.
Or a kid's character, yes. Cassandra Tuppence sounds like the sort of name you would think up on the spot when you were panicking.
Yeah. Tuppence is a good word, isn't it?
Tuppence is a good word. Sadly underused these days, even though we do still technically have tuppence.
What, 2p?
Yeah, nobody ever says a 2p piece. Why don't we just still call that tuppence? I don't understand.
Doesn't tuppence have a secondary meaning in slang?
Does it?
Don't people say, oh.
Come on then, I'm going to look at tuppence. Yes. I didn't know that though. Is that what you think it is? Is this an alternative word for the start of the Latvian Eurovision Song Contest entry?
Yes, that could be said, yeah. Yes. That makes no sense to anyone out of context. But
oh no, it doesn't actually, no. If you haven't heard the Latvian Eurovision Song Contest entry. Ooh. It's worth a listen. It's mad. Tuppence, a polite way of naming a woman's privates, according to the Urban Dictionary.
There it is.
Here's the you know, they always put it in context. They have like a sentence to put it in context. Yeah, a man has a winkle and a woman has a tuppence.
Good. Well, this podcast feels doomed from the start, doesn't it?
Absolutely doomed, yeah. Never
mind. There we go.
Absolutely, crack on. There was a message I wanted to read, actually, Peter, before we crack on with the rest of the show, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Hey, Pete and Dave, spelt H-E-J, which will become clear. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. Hey. Last week, you read out my daughter Elle's request, the one with the nap partners. It was the best
off of Sweden.
Yes, hence hey. It was the best start to our day. We were indeed in our car driving to work through the forests of northern Sweden. When we first discovered your brilliant podcast a little over a year ago, we binge listened to the entire back catalogue, so had a different episode of FWF to listen to every day. Thank you for having such a wonderfully lovely, warm and kind pod. It's a bit of audio sunshine every time we listen. That's so nice. These are the bits I shouldn't
really
need.
Why are you describing it as warm and kind after we've just spent 2 minutes talking about a tuppence?
As we say in Sweden, tusen tack. That's from Selena, Elle's mum. And she's also sent a video, a typical view of our drive to work. And it is just them driving down the road with some wildlife literally walking across the road. Are they mooses? No, they're not. I don't know what they are, actually, Pete. Are they
the plural of moose? Isn't
I think
it?
It's moose.
Like
I think
sheep.
It is moose, yeah. But
mooses doesn't sound right.
No, it doesn't, does it? So yes, there you go. Tusen tack to you. Should we find out what that means? Thank you very much. Tusen tack meaning
tack thank you.
A thousand thanks. Yes, we know tack is thank you, don't we, Peter, from Scandi Noir dramas.
Request?
Yes, request. Yes, correct. I was like, where do we go from here? I've messed with the format and it's all gone wrong. Ahoy, fellow friends. This is now just the start of an episode where we just keep reading out praise. So I do apologize for that. But it's important to document the requests. I love the podcast. I started listening in lockdown after a recommendation. And then when I got back to the early episodes with the guests, I thought, who are these people interrupting Dave and Pete? Do you know what, Fran? I'll tell you who they are. They are much more successful people than us, mostly.
Yeah, but we also shared that view, so we binned them off.
Stealing our thunder. Exactly. Trying to talk about friends when we want to talk about friends.
Get rid of those guys.
Absolute shambles. B, my request is the one with the tea leaves, because I can't wait for you to devour the crazy behaviour by both Rachel and Ross. And the examples Fran's given. One, who would hide behind a sofa while their ex makes out with someone? Like, where is that leading? Oh my God, so much to say about that. And also, Rachel seems to have had a lobotomy. If selling her baby is all she can think of, thank you so much, Fran. P.S. Colour Winterberry.
Nice.
Which is very funny. A good line, actually, in the episode. Yes, Fran, you have stirred the rumblings of the thoughts I'm sure we will be having over the next half an hour or so. So where would you like to start, Pete? Would it be with a synopsis?
Yes, do that bit first.
See, I'm just reading out a lot of chunks of text at the moment, aren't I? Which is, anyone a fan of me reading things out is probably going to enjoy the first sort of 5-6 minutes of this podcast. Otherwise, apologies. The one with the tea leaves, season 8, episode 17, 227417.
Nah, don't like ending in 7.
Phoebe determines through tea leaves she will soon meet the man of her dreams, which leads to a disastrous date with a disturbing man, then a pleasant meeting with a charming one at the dry cleaners. Yeah, that's probably a fair way of putting it for the time being. That's all we know so far, isn't it? Rachel invents a crazy work problem, meanwhile, to reduce the awkwardness of hanging out with Joey since his confession about his feelings for her, and Ross tries to retrieve his faded salmon shirt from Mona's apartment. Guest starring Alec Baldwin as Parker. Note on this, actually, Pete, there's a note on the synopsis. In spite of the 9/11 attacks having occurred the prior September, a brief shot of the Twin Towers is visible approximately 6 minutes into the episode. That is actually quite interesting, because this went out in March, so they had a lot of time to sort of re-edit those bits, didn't they?
Fun fact.
Yeah, it's not fun, but it is a fact. That's what I'd say. And what are we here for, Pete? Fun? Absolutely not. Fact. Pure facts?
Pure dry facts.
Dry facts. So we'll now read a series of facts out for the rest of the episode. Courtney Cox plays the character Monica. Jennifer Aniston. I thought you were going to interrupt me, but I just started.
I think we should leave that there.
Which of the three? Well, do you know what? I think we should start with the secret fourth plot line, which I noted and have one sentence on, which is Monica and Chandler's CDs.
Yeah. I do love Rachel's, oh my God, you guys, at how banal Chandler and Monica's chat is when they're talking about organising these.
It is kind of a real focal point of the sort of level their relationship's gone to, hasn't it? And you know, we always talk about how Monica and Chandler just got a bit boring after they got together, and they are literally just sorting through CD cases. That is all.
Although Chandler and Monica's main contribution to this episode, I think, is the initial ring toss joke about Chandler and the bagel.
I mean, I'd say there's a lot to pick apart with the ring toss bagel thing, right?
I don't think you could fit a flaccid penis through a bagel hole.
It wouldn't be flaccid though, right?
Yeah, well, I don't think you could fit either state of a...
No, I don't. I agree, actually.
I appreciate they're not binary conditions of a penis. But
A winkle.
But I don't think you could fit either recognized state of a winkle through a bagel.
No, but it would have to not be flaccid for it even to stand a chance. But like Joey points out, it is a pretty small...
You know what you could do, Dave? You could thumb it in, can you? Like a flump through a keyhole.
Oh, why is that your catchphrase?
That's not my...
It is in your catchphrase.
I don't want the, no, I
you're
reject.
The one that always says thumb it in.
Always? I've said it like twice in my life.
Yeah, always to the bloody people that listen to this podcast. You just keep it to yourself if you want to thumb it in, all right?
Do
it.
I'm going to leave my...
privacy of your own kitchen with your own bagel. But more than the sort of logistics of the bagel, it's a really weird assumption by Rachel, because she's noticed the bagel's there because Joey was eating it, right?
Yeah.
And so they're trying to cover up the fact that Joey was there, and they say, we were playing a game. And she immediately jumps to Chandler being trouserless.
The thing that made me laugh out loud at this bit is when Rachel says, like, oh no, is it some sort of ring toss situation? And Monica goes, sure.
Like, sure.
she's trying to laugh it off. And Chandler's horrified reaction to that is great as well. It's really funny.
That's the problem. It gives them away more than anything to just agree with everything Rachel says. When it's mad, they could just go, no, no, no. We were just doing something else. You know, they could have, although to be fair, in this episode, I would surmise that the characters aren't good at thinking of things on the spot.
Yeah, that is very apparent.
If Rachel's sort of ability is anything to go by, then Monica and Chandler would have struggled to come up with another bagel, an alternate bagel game on the spot. If you had to do it now, Pete, what's that bagel for? What game?
We're playing hoopla with it.
On a dick?
Not on a dick. Don't be ridiculous.
That is actually mad, though, isn't it? That anyone would ever assume that.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
It's a very hard game.
It is a very hard game. And also, hoopla, let's not talk about it forever, but if you're doing a hoopla, that channel would have to be laid down, is what I would say.
And if you've only got one bagel to play with, then you'll keep having to go and retrieve the bagel after you've thrown it. Like, yeah. With hoopla or ring toss, don't you have multiple rings? I feel like we may be overthinking it, but that is what we're here to do.
That is literally our thing. So anyway, back to Monica and Chandler's CDs. Is it they're all in the wrong cases, Pete? That's it. That's the premise of the storyline. They're all in the wrong cases. I'm sorry. And Chandler has two Annie CDs. And I would like to say that every time I do hear the song Tomorrow from Annie, which is remarkably often, actually, I always sing the first line in my head, and often out loud, the way Chandler sings it. So that has brought something into my life.
Well, there you go.
There'll be sun. Okay, where do you want to start? Properly, tea leaves, Joey and Rachel and the baby, or the faded salmon shirt?
I feel like there's not that much to say about tea leaves.
Interesting, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, my first thought was I wouldn't have thought Central Perk was the sort of establishment that would sell loose leaf tea.
No.
Even over here where we do tea properly... Like, you have to go to either a bougie cafe or a fancy hotel, right?
It's just a bit faffy, isn't it?
It's so fucking faffy, mate. It's absolutely not worth the faff.
And for Phoebe, even more faff, because famously, tea tends to give her the trots.
Yeah, that's an interesting detail we learn, isn't it?
Great use of the expression, the trots, by the way. It's not
you don't hear the trots very often.
You don't
often,
hear
do
the trots much, no.
Is that a very American thing, or do we say the trots just not very often here?
It feels a bit sort of oldie English.
Yeah. Should we look up the
don't
etymology?
Don't Google the trots.
Okay.
Don't do that.
Don't accidentally click on Google Images, do I?
No.
So, yeah, no, it's like fair play to Central Perk. It's a much more classy establishment that I would give it credit for, especially if you've seen all the, you know, if you see on TikTok and Instagram quite often, the way Americans make tea is more often than not dreadful. Like, you'd see people making tea in a microwave. I never know if it's a joke or not.
Do you know what's incredibly boring is conversations about how people like their tea. Like, oh, how do you have yours? Oh, you put the milk in for, like, who fucking cares?
It makes no fucking difference either way, does it?
No.
Wet and warm, Pete. That's all you need.
Yeah, exactly. Is it hot? Has it got a tea bag in it?
Yeah, exactly. They are the two main ingredients, aren't they? Well, it's surprisingly few people in America seem to have electric kettles. So they have to make tea in bizarre ways, like warming water up on a hob or using a microwave. It's really peculiar.
I do think, having just said it's boring conversation, I think you're doing something wrong if you involve a microwave in your tea creation.
Oh, absolutely. It'd be absolutely disgusting right now. You know, the sort of stewing nature of the tea bag, you know?
a nuked cup of tea.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, so Phoebe starts to read the tea leaves. A ladder means promotion or a violent death. That's implying she'll fall off a ladder, Monica?
Yeah, maybe.
A circle is having a baby or a scientific discovery. That's a funny line from Rachel. I have been spending a lot of time in the lab recently.
Yeah, that's good.
And Phoebe's going to meet a nice guy. The interesting thing about the predictions, actually, is that they all do come true eventually, just not in this episode, in the sense that Phoebe will meet Mike fairly soon and Monica gets that new job at Javu, the food here at Javu. You know, she gets like a, yeah, you'd call that a promotion, I guess, like a fancy restaurant that she gets really excited about moving to. And Rachel does indeed have a baby. So maybe we shouldn't be snobby about Phoebe's tea leave reading skills.
But you know what would have been good is if at the end of this episode, the person she bumped into in the laundry place,
yeah,
laundrette,
dry cleaner,
Mike.
Oh, if it had been Mike.
Yeah, because I feel like it would be quite nice narratively for Phoebe to meet someone in a way that she sort of believed that she might meet someone. Like, that would be a very Phoebe plot.
No, I totally agree, actually. It's sort of strange, isn't it, that they waste it on a one-episode character, Parker.
But I do think that... One thing that Phoebe does very well in this episode is when she goes on the date with the dreadful person who she has high hopes for, and he turns out to just be sort of pervy and a bit inappropriate and sex-obsessed. I think she handles it very well by very fairly warning him that he's, I think in her words, coming on a little strong. And then he just does the same thing again. But I think, fair play, Phoebe, handles it well.
Yeah, and it's a mad thing to handle, isn't it? Because I've got some questions, actually, for you specifically, Pete.
Why me?
Because Chandler turns around and goes, oh, he's so fit or something, so fresh and juicy. I can't remember what he says exactly. What does he say?
No, I think that's what he says.
Is that man attractive? Because I don't see it.
No, I don't see it either. I'm not, this will break your heart, Dave, but I'm not usually partial to a man with long hair.
Are you not?
Sorry, that was a weird way of kicking you unnecessarily, wasn't it? But
what a weird way to kick me when I'm down. that's probably why this podcast works so well, Pete. There's no sexual frisson that we have to, you know, offices, there's always problems with people sleeping with each other, and yet we can just plow on because, yeah, think men with long hair are uggos. That's fine. So you don't like a long-haired man, that's fine. Okay, but even putting that aside, he goes from being like fairly suave and seemingly quite charming and witty to a complete creep in the space of about 15 seconds.
Yeah, and also, if it's the first conversation Phoebe's had with this guy when they bump into each other at that sort of magazine stand, she's just like immediately up for a date, isn't she? She's like... Two lines into a conversation, she's like, yeah, fine.
Yeah, and that happens with Parker as well. Parker's, like, conversion from picking up a scarf she's dropped to let's go on a date now immediately is something like less than 30 seconds. Like,
that's
it's
true.
And I think this goes, we've talked about American dating culture before, and it is definitely different to ours, although ours is sort of changing a little bit more to be more American. But that idea that you're just like, hey, you're fit, want to go for a coffee immediately, I don't think that wouldn't really happen here, would it?
Yeah.
Why would anyone, though, ever say those breasts, ever?
Yeah,
never
that
mind,
noise
like,
he makes.
On a first date, yeah. I can't even recreate the noise, really. It's like, it's like really,
Yeah.
It's
I don't even like making that noise.
Yeah, no, and you shouldn't. Let's never make it again on the podcast. But he is just, he goes intensely creepy. It's not just that he says a few little weird things. He goes from, like, her being quite interested... Because that line when they're at the newspaper stand and he sort of says, oh, maybe we'll be seeing each other at dinner tonight. That's, you know, good little line. It's nice. It's a nice little chat up, isn't it?
You're very easily pleased, aren't you?
Seems quite normal. Well, no. You know, I like a man with long hair, what can I say?
Oh, by the way, this is an incredibly disturbing line, but I find it really funny. I write erotic novels for children.
It's that and the follow-up line of they're wildly unpopular. It's so funny. It's so disturbing, but it's so funny. I agree. I think that's his best moment in the whole episode.
Yeah, he's quite a good little one-episode character, in fairness. Incredibly inappropriate character and dreadful person, but performed very well.
Yeah, good entertainment, isn't it? Good entertainment for the neutrals.
Absolutely.
She decides she has to avoid everywhere she's seen him afterwards, though. Curiously, though, not the place she sees him in this episode, which is Central Perk.
Yeah,
she changes so much of her life, the adult bookstore, the grocery store, she like the dry cleaner. She seems to change her entire routine, but never at once seems to think, oh, he goes to Central Perk, maybe we shouldn't go there anymore.
Maybe she sees it as her territory.
But yeah, but that's it. She meets Parker. We know what happens with Parker in the next episode. And in fact, we've covered that episode, haven't we, Peter? So
we shan't be talking
about it again. Did we talk about the fact that Alec Baldwin's a continuity error in Friends when we did that one? I can't remember.
I feel like we mentioned that recently, the same way as Bruce.
Yeah, but he is. He's referred to, isn't he, previously, Alec Baldwin. And so, anyway, but, you know, it's not our job to worry about those things. There's many, many of those in Friends, especially towards the end when, let's face it, they're trotting out the guest stars at a rate of knots.
Yeah, they got the trots.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So let's go back to Joey and Rachel, shall we?
Yes, but actually quite a fun Joey and Rachel plot.
Yeah, well, it's a roller coaster, isn't it? Because it's real awkward at the start and really uncomfortable. It's like a level of awkward that is almost implausible. You know, like if you're in that sort of position with somebody, the idea you wouldn't just make some small talk, you would just sit there and look at them and not say anything is kind of mad, actually, isn't it?
The really nice thing about a couple of moments in this plot in that the audience reacts in a way that makes it feel live. Like when Rachel exclaims about her boss wanting to buy her baby, the audience kind of share Joey's reaction of like, what the fuck? And I really like the way that they react there. And there's also a really nice natural audience laughing moment and Rachel pausing like in a play for the audience's laugh to kind of die down when Joey says something like, oh, I thought you were going to say something about maternity leave, and she says, oh yeah, and then there's a long pause before the laugh dies down and she says, that would have been a much simpler problem. It kind of feels like the audience is like properly kind of dictating the pace of the performance of it, and it's really nice. It feels like a live show.
No, definitely. There's also the way they react when I think Rachel goes into Mr. Zellner's office for the sort of HR meeting, you know?
Yeah.
And when she first walks in, the audience goes, oh, like they really, there's like a real like tension there, you know, like a real like, uh-oh, it's all going wrong. Yeah. And it's, yeah, you're totally right. I noticed that. It's a slightly different way that the audience usually reacts in Friends, which can almost sort of fade into the background and seem like just part of the white noise, can't it?
Well, it's like when you're watching, like if you watch a play and someone says a funny line and the audience laughs a lot, then obviously there's quite an unnatural pause in the performer's character's conversation until there's kind of like a breath for them to say their next bit. And you don't normally get that very often in sitcoms, but it's really kind of tangible here. It's nice.
Yeah, no, definitely. No, totally agree. So we get from the sort of real awkwardness to, again, Joey being quite a good friend and snapping out of his quite clearly deeply held emotional problems to sort of fight a corner for his friend. Although what I would say is, not that cool a move to just go straight into her work and tell her boss off, is it?
Not without her knowing about it, no.
No. I mean, some would say she's landed herself in this fucking insane situation, but there's a lot of,
it's very,
like,
self-inflicted, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as Fran points out, it's implausible that that would be the first thing you ever think. You know, like, it could, you could, I reckon I think of 500 things before I thought of my boss wants to buy my baby as the on-the-spot improv work problem, you know? And to be fair, half is Monica's fault because she strong-armed Rachel into making up. There's a really unnatural line when Monica goes, and it's supposed to be unnatural, but Monica goes, oh, I don't know what to tell you, Rachel. Why don't you ask Joey about your big work problem? And really sets her up for huge failure, let's be honest. But to be fair, actually all works out in the end, doesn't it? Because Rachel gets more maternity leave than she would have got previously.
Exactly. Joey's done her a favour.
He has done her a favour. And as in Friends, it all works out nicely in the end. So well done, everyone. We can all go home happy. And to finish this episode, Pete, probably one of the thinnest ever one-line pitches for a storyline in Friends, Ross can't find his shirt.
Yeah, and he's also unable to describe his clothing as pink, and Chandler then jokes about it being from a woman's shop.
Yeah, there's quite a few.
Quite tiring.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you go, if we're in season 8 now, lads, what's the... And it's the same with Mona's date as well.
Yeah, he also makes the same kind of
shirt.
Comment.
Yeah. It's like, listen, it's a man's shirt, but it's pink. It's like, yeah, pink is a colour that... Oh, it's lazy joke making, isn't it? It's frustrating because it's lazy.
Yeah. I do love the reveal that Mona asked Ross to jump up his own ass and die. Given how he treated her and continues to treat her in this episode, kind of justified.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as Fran pointed out in her request, Ross's behaviour in this is absolutely wild.
I mean, he literally breaks into her apartment.
Yeah, he breaks in. Like, at this stage, you're thinking, I mean, considering Ross is clearly willy-nilly happy to order shirts because he's doing it at the end, brackets Winterberry, just buy a new shirt, Ross. He's like, it's my favourite shirt. Honestly, how much does that shirt cost? $50? Ross can afford it. Get a new shirt and don't... Because before he breaks into her apartment, he's gone round with the sole purpose of talking to her to get the shirt back, even though she clearly fucking hates him.
Although, does, in the end, talk to him about getting back together or, like, the special memories, can she keep the shirt? And you just think, Mona, babe, like, you really are better than this.
Yeah, that is classic Friends at the end when she goes back round to his, rather than, in real life, sending him a text going, what's going on?
Yeah.
That was weird, you know?
Yeah.
Like, literally going across town to knock on his door. But yeah, Ross is going to talk to her, then he breaks into the apartment, and then we just get the whole farce of, like, quite a tall man lying in quite a small apartment on the floor and nobody ever noticing him.
Quite sort of pantomime-y and slapstick, isn't it?
Yeah, even when you take out the sort of the element of, like, oh, she might not have just saw him because it's a TV sitcom. Like, when she goes to get that shirt from the closet, his entire body is just lying behind the sofa.
Yeah.
Like, she definitely would have seen him. Also, as Fran says, what was his end game in just sitting patiently reading a magazine? If they were going to go to the bedroom, for example, they'd literally have to walk over him. So, again, there's no way out once they move. If they weren't going to the bedroom, Pete, and they were just going to bang on the sofa, who's listening to their ex just have sex and reading a magazine whilst lying on the... Like, what is happening there?
In a real life... I'm just... Like, imagine you're Mona, or, to be fair, her date in this situation, and you're making out, and then you suddenly realise that someone you used to date has been hiding in your apartment. Like, the she's, even though she is angry, she's remarkably more composed than I think I'd ever be able to be.
Yeah, the reaction does not justify the action, does it?
Your ex breaking into your flat and then finding them there is fucking mental.
You'd be nothing less than apoplectic with rage. You'd be like, what the actual fuck are you doing here? Like, what is happening? What? how can you possibly think this was ever a thing you should have done? You know?
And then, ironically, given it's part of their storyline, you'd change your locks.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I mean, it's not a great hiding place for her key anyway, is it, to be fair? Like, anyone could really break in if they just see her pick it up once every now and again in the hallway.
Mm, true.
And then Ross is ending up buying some new shirts, and he's buying them from the magazine he found at Mona's. So he clearly took the magazine with him. And in a shout back to, I was going to say 90s technology, but this is early 2000s now, placing an order for a shirt on the telephone.
Yes, do you know what it reminded me of? When my parents used to order things from Cotton Traders. Do you remember Cotton Traders? Very of its time.
Yeah, I do remember Cotton Traders. Very of its time, but it was big at the time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then so Ross gets his shirt back, and there is that is a really nice actual final single line to the whole episode when Mona goes, can I take this just to remember you by? And Ross sort of, the way David Schwimmer sort of sighs and goes, as if he's going to say yes, and he goes, no.
Yeah.
is a really nice payoff to that.
It's a very
thing.
Ross dickhead move.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. But
if someone said to me, after I'd broken up with them, or after we'd broken up, can I keep your shirt to remember you by? I'd be like, I'm not dead. So
yeah, and also that's mad. Don't take all the stuff from my apartment. Don't add stuff to it. Don't bring new old stuff back into your own apartment to remind you of the ex, you know?
Hmm.
Poor old Mona's new date. Whose shirt is that? Oh, it's just my ex's. I kept it to remember him by. Okay. She's clearly not over this. Let's get out of here. I'm not great at the advice. Can I interest you in a sarcastic comment?
I do love it when Chandler offers Rachel cheese to
some cheese. Yeah, I think there's some cheese on the end of that line.
While
really
holding
is what makes
out
it.
Some cheese, it's great. Yeah. I think I've used most of my favourite lines, but the other one I like is when Mona asks Ross what he's doing, and he says, "Not touching myself." If this makes anyone else less uncomfortable.
Phoebe's talking to Monica, and Monica says, if I can find the perfect guy, taking you. And Phoebe's reply of, yes, we both can, and we both will, is really the constant undermining of Chandler as a valid life partner from the rest of them is very funny, especially from Phoebe. And then actually the other one that really made me laugh was another Chandler. Ralph Lauren's really going out their way to show they're not in the baby buying business.
Yes.
Really made me chuckle.
Right, would you like a quiz?
I would like a quiz, Peter. Have you got the quiz there? Have you?
Who does the quiz come? Oh, the quiz comes from Melissa slash...
Amy, sorry.
Now Amy, yeah.
Yeah.
She says that she's based in Exeter.
Oh, shout out to Exeter.
Oh, no, hang on. She's from Ireland, but based in Exeter, because we said we wanted to know where people would get in touch with us.
Yes, that's right, yes.
So put that in the spreadsheet, Dave.
Okay, her husband David also helped to put this quiz together, so we must give him a shout out. So Melissa and David, sorry, Amy and Amy, thank you very much.
Yeah. Question one. Where does Monica jokingly pretend to look for Joey?
In the sugar bowl. Oh,
in the sugar pot, yeah, sugar bowl.
Yeah, that is quite a nice little pantomimey bit at the start, isn't it?
Question two. When Mr. Zellner meets with Rachel, who is he asked to be a witness in their conversation?
Oh, it's from someone from HR, but I don't know who. Do we need the name?
Yes, we do, which we haven't provided, so this is wrong. Lee from Human Resources.
Fair.
Oh, a bonus point for grabs here, Dave.
Ooh, lovely. We love a bonus point.
Chandler has put CDs in the wrong cases. Which CDs are in which cases that are specified? And a bonus point, how many CDs are in the wrong cases? That is hard.
Bonus point, isn't it all?
Oh,
there's like 200 and they're all in the wrong case, right?
Yeah, well, you've got the bonus point before you've named the other bits, so yes. Well,
so I think Bruce...
James Taylor gets a mention.
Yes, Bruce Springsteen is in... I want to say Cat Stevens, and Cat Stevens is in James Taylor. Weird Human Centipede.
That is correct.
Hello.
Well done. You did well there. Question four. I think you've referenced this already. What does Phoebe see in Monica and Rachel's tea leaves, and what do they mean? Yeah,
Monica was a ladder, so death or promotion, or violent death, sorry. And Rachel's... what was the thing, though? Having a baby or making a scientific discovery. What was the actual symbol? I can't remember now. I did write it down.
It was a circle.
Look at my notes. I don't want to cheat. Yes, it was a circle, wasn't it? Yeah. Fuck.
So we don't get that point because half points are...
Fortuats.
Exactly. And finally, oh no, hang on, there's another bonus. Goodness me, so generous. Question five. Phoebe lists a number of places that she and Jim Nelson go to or share. Name at least three, but a bonus point if you can get them all. There are at least six, potentially seven, depending on interpretation.
Seven? Okay, so I remember dry cleaners, adult bookstore, grocery store.
That's three, yeah.
Is that all we needed?
It is, and then the extra ones.
Yeah, I'm not going to get the other ones.
Bookstore and or adult bookstore. Yeah. Same bus, same dry cleaners, same grocery store, same bank, same video store.
Video store. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of places she goes to. God, Phoebe's a busy bee, isn't she?
An extra bonus point, Dave, if you can specify the name of Phoebe's new dry cleaners.
Absolutely cannot. Not a chance in hell.
I actually can.
Can you?
Because I recognised it's the name of a street. And it says it's Bleecker Street. And I remember clocking that because I thought in my head, isn't Bleecker Street in a different city? And then I lost interest.
It's very much in New York.
So it's Bleecker Street.
Oh, fair. Okay, good news.
That concludes the quiz.
That concludes the quiz and almost concludes the episode. But we should just give a nod to Mike Haggerty, who died this week, who's one of the greatest characters in Friends and has so many good moments as Mr. Trieger. Very sad news, wasn't it, Pete?
Of course. Yeah, no, we put a little something on Instagram, but yeah, very sad news about him.
Very sad. So go and watch all your favourite Trieger moments, which I think my favourite ever Trieger line is, and I can't remember which way around it is, someone will tell me when I get it wrong, but when he knocks on the door and goes, "Hey, chick, is the duck here?"
Or
"Hey, duck, is chick here?" I can't remember. Ah, it's going to annoy me. And obviously there's that iconic the ballroom dancing, right? It's just such a good scene, that whole thing. Every time I hear that song, that Frank Sinatra song, I think it is.
Night and Day.
Night and Day, yeah. Oh, that's all I think of. And that is pretty impressive, isn't it?
And would you like to know what next week's episode is?
Is it the one with the ballroom dancing?
It's not.
No, that would have been nice.
It is instead the one with the wedding dresses, which is season 4, episode 20.
Season 4, episode 20. Is Trieger in that one?
Trenty.
What? Did I say Trenty? One with all the red dresses? Yes, next week on Friends with Friends, which is the podcast you're currently listening to. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.